All rights reserved. We reserve all rights. Disclaimer: the information presented in this film is an entirely speculative hypothesis only. Please take it with a dump truck load of salt. It should come as no surprise that the Transhumanism mouthpiece Time Magazine was purposely selected to officially announce the Great Reset in late October 2020. You may know it as long-ignored whispers of other names, UN Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, or the Wildlands Project, and even the New World Order, which you were programmed to believe was just a nutty conspiracy theory. Yet there it is, on the cover of Time magazine. On your local nightly news.
Today is the first full day of the New World Order. Outdoor gatherings are limited to 2 people. Exercise is allowed, but no further than a 10-kilometre radius from your home. Browsing in shops is not permitted. Only 1 person per household may leave to do essential shopping. And from tomorrow, funerals are limited to 10 people.
We've got to accept that this is the new world order. We've got to accept that this is the new world order.
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the new world order.
You've been asleep. There is nothing new about this world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Its real name is the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And Klaus Schwab, founder of the World Economic Forum, yes, that Klaus Schwab, told us what was in these injections in his books, COVID-19, The Great Reset, and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. But were we paying attention? In this book, he states that the future will challenge our understanding of what it means to be human from both a biological and a social standpoint, meaning the vaccinated will not be the same species as current biological humans, which we will cover shortly. Schwab states that the tools of the Fourth Industrial Revolution enable new forms of surveillance and other means of control that run counter to healthy, open societies. So we will not have a healthy, open society. We will be mind-controlled slaves. Schwab says, at least in this mind-controlled society, public crime is likely to decrease due to the convergence of biometric sensors injected inside of the body, cameras, AI, and facial recognition software, like they already have in China. They call this next part pre-crime in the film Minority Report, where you are guilty if they think you might commit a crime, whether you actually commit one or not. Schwab says, as capabilities in this area improve, the temptation for law enforcement agencies and courts to use techniques to determine the likelihood of criminal activity and to assess guilt or even possibly retrieve memories directly from people's brains will increase. Do you know of a technology that can retrieve people's memories? Well, they're putting it into people right now. He says even crossing a national border might one day involve a detailed brain scan to assess an individual's security risk.
Imagine a world without murder.
I lost my best friend.
I lost my aunt.
I lost my dad.
I lost my father.
I lost my wife.
Just 6 years ago, the homicide rate in this country had reached epidemic proportions. It seemed that only a miracle could stop the bloodshed. Within just 1 month under the pre-crime program, the murder rate in the District of Columbia was reduced 90%.
They were going to be waiting for me in the car.
He was going to rape me.
I was going to be stabbed.
Right here.
Within a year, pre-crime effectively stopped murder in our nation's capital.
In the 6 years we've been conducting our little experiment, there hasn't been a single murder.
And now pre-crime can work for you.
We want to make absolutely certain that every American can bank on the utter infallibility of this system. And to ensure that what keeps us safe will also keep us free.
Schwab describes how these technologies can intrude into the hitherto private space of our minds, reading our thoughts and influencing our behavior. It might surprise you to learn that this technology is not new. It has been around since at least 1964, nearly 60 years ago.
Electronic mind control research is not new. A scientific milestone in this area came in the 1960s when Dr. Jose Delgado demonstrated remote control over a charging bull. By connecting a radio antenna to electrodes inserted into the bull's brain, Delgado proved that the animal's aggressive impulses could be thwarted by electronically manipulating the bull's muscle reflexes.
Do you realize the fantastic possibilities if from the outside we could modify the inside? Could we give messages to the inside? But the beauty is that now we are not using electrodes. Could we give messages to the inside? But the beauty is that now we are not using electrodes.
In recent years, Delgado has shown that the behavior of monkeys can be altered using low-power pulsating magnetic fields. But in these experiments, there were no antenna implants. There were no antenna implants.
Any function in the brain, emotions, intellect, personality, well, could be perhaps modified by this non-invasive technology.
Delgado's research has so far been limited to animals. But in the Soviet Union, a radio frequency, or RF device, has been used for over 30 years to manipulate the moods of mental patients.
Are COVID-19 deep nasal swab tests really implanting electromagnetic transmission systems for remote control? Or is that just a conspiracy theory? Why would a cotton mucus nasal test swab need to be so highly radioactive that it sets off danger level alarms, or even radioactive at all? Why would it need to be shoved all the way down your head when a saliva sample would do just fine? And why are they instructed to twist and twist and twist them around inside of you? The big pharma government-controlled media is trying to brainwash the ignorant masses into believing that COVID-19 is the only reason you would possibly lose your sense of taste and smell during flu season. The rest of us all know there are really a dozen common reasons for the loss of taste and smell, from cold and flus to vitamin deficiency, among many others. But did you know radiation exposure and nervous system damage do the same? Why are they forcing you to go have this done every 72 hours to participate in society or go out and get tested constantly when you aren't even sick.
NYC, you're doing great with wearing masks and social distancing to fight COVID-19. What's next? Get tested often, even with no symptoms. Get tested often, even with no symptoms.
Why are these swabs so brittle that they are nicknamed brain scrapers and brain stabbers? Could they really actually be inserting dust-sized nano-electronic technology inside of people's heads? And could that technology be fractal graphene nano-antennas? I was sent a startling research paper from my good friend Max Egan over at the Crow House. Go subscribe to his BitChute channel if you aren't already. That just may answer that question. Again, we need to think critically here. The paper claims to be an analysis of test sticks, meaning nasal test swabs, from surface testing in the Slovak Republic and confirmation of genocide. An analysis allegedly performed in the months of November 2020 to March 2021 on test sticks in sets. The study was alleged to have been carried out on SD biosensor swabs, Abbott swabs, and Nadal swabs in an unnamed hospital laboratory from Bratislava, Slovakia, claiming the test swabs studied were from the sets used in surface testing in Slovakia and in hospitals. The first questions are, who had the labs and technical capability to do this, and why would they even be doing this? If this study is legit, that narrows it down to a probability that it may have come from the National Institute of Heart and Cardiovascular Disease in Bratislava, or the National Institute of Oncology there, but perhaps it was even St. Michael's Hospital. The second problem is that all of the dozen or so articles on this subject reference the same one paper, which claims to be anonymous, so how does one even confirm this is legit? The study starts by showing how the nylon fibers are broken off at the end of the used test swabs, meaning they are breaking off and staying in people's heads as they are being twisted around by the testers. Also, they are hollow, meaning they can be filled with something, and they are nylon instead of cotton, explaining their brittleness and the nickname brain scrapers. They show a comparison picture of a classic cotton wool swab under a microscope, then show the broken ends of these swabs, claiming their task is to disrupt the surface layer on the mucosa. This could even be in a mouth swab, thereby also their breakage and subsequent leaching or leaking of the fiber content, which they claim is DARPA hydrogel and lithium. These exact threads are patented by DARPA. Next, they show us a side view of a swab fiber with a broken end, and we can see the balls or beads of what they claim to be DARPA hydrogel inside. Then they crushed up the swab fiber into crushed nylon fibers, hydrogel beads, and lithium to show what would be left inside the tested person's nasopharynx, shown here, after the swabs were twisted, broken off, and leached into the tissue fluid. That left them able to get close-ups of the DARPA hydrogel beads that form the content of the hollow nylon test swab fibers themselves. Then they claim to have mixed that DARPA hydrogel with saliva, an organic fluid, and within just a few minutes of being mixed, they began to form rectangular crystal structures, which gradually grew in a fractal manner. After 24 hours of crystallization, this was the end result. Remarkable, as they look very similar to one of the nanotechnologies that the scientists and researchers at La Quinta Columna claim to have found in the Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Janssen, and Moderna COVID vaccines and boosters, which they call fractal graphene nanoantennas. They claim these DARPA hydrogel crystals then created a 3D spatial structure and started to grow throughout the tissues. The reason hydrogel grows and swells is because it is partially made of water and glycerin, which is a humectant, meaning that it promotes the retention of water and also binds water from the body's tissue and fluids to itself. It's kind of like an organic sponge. When Profusa, the Gates Foundation, and DARPA teamed up to make the implantable hydrogel biosensor for the upcoming COVID vaccines in 2020, that wasn't the first time DARPA had used hydrogel technology as biological antenna to communicate with external electronic monitoring devices. DARPA and Profusa had already been working on it since 2016 to be used in LUMI for monitoring biochemistry and oxygen levels in soldiers' body tissue.
Hello, I'm Colonel Matt Hepburn. I'm a program manager in the Biological Technologies Office, at DARPA. I am an active duty Army infectious diseases physician and have specialized in addressing biological threats that can either be engineered or naturally occurring, such as Ebola or pandemic influenza. Today we're going to be talking about one of the technologies that I actively manage, a company called Profusa, which is aiming at achieving tissue-level continuous health monitoring. Through the SBIR program, we funded them to solve a incredible technical challenge that no one else had been previously able to solve. The key innovation that was presented to us is they said, why can't we make a chemical substance that's really identical to what's underneath the skin, what we call the subcutaneous tissue, so that your body doesn't recognize it as a foreign body response. It just incorporates itself into the tissue. And we have a lot of examples now where a sensor put right underneath the skin can sense things like oxygen and other chemicals that are very important to our metabolism. And not just sense that for a day or a week or even a month, but we imagine that sensing these parameters can go on for a period of years. One of the most important applications to us is so that we can improve the health of our worldwide deployed military force. We feel a strong sense of obligation that if we're going to ask somebody to be deployed and to carry out their mission, that we want to keep them healthy. And this technology will give us a way to monitor if someone is getting sick. We imagine that we would be able to sense that very early and therefore prevent them from getting sick and prevent their complications, allow them to stay healthy and continue to carry out their mission. In addition, if our technology translates into general health benefit, we're very excited about that. So, in other words, we fund those national security applications. The company finds private sector partnership funding for that general health benefit. And we see it as really a win-win as this technology develops.
The paper goes on to show DARPA hydrogel crystals growing under the microscope in the direction of the magnetic field. But they don't say what magnetic field or how they know. They claim that once inserted into the human nasopharynx with a swab, the crystals grow toward the pineal gland due to its local magnetic field being stronger than the Earth's external magnetic field. It is true that the pineal gland both floats in and contains iron oxide magnetite crystals, and studies have been done showing how external magnetic fields coupled with pulsing electric currents can stop the pineal gland from producing melatonin, which this injected technology, 4G and 5G, can definitely do. Is it really just a coincidence that Europe's largest 3D software company, Dassault Systems, has an ad telling us to get prepared for the fourth industrial revolution, showing a machine in a guy's head exactly where the human pineal gland is located? Melatonin connects and syncs us and our biological rhythms with the natural rhythms of our surrounding environment and is vital to our existence. Next, they show us the natural crystallization of saliva without DARPA hydrogel. The crystals do not create 3D spatial models, do not form even rectangular structures, and do not grow in fractal snowflake type way. Saliva appears to crystallize more like needles on a northern pine tree. Not like this, but here is where things get very interesting. They claim to have taken this 24-hour crystallized DARPA hydrogel in saliva and then added more human saliva with antibodies, and also another sample of it added with ivermectin. In this slide, they claim the effect of human saliva from a human who overcame COVID naturally and has antibodies was added to the left side of the slide and almost immediately caused the permanent destruction of the DARPA hydrogel structures. But they offer zero proof that that was what was indeed added to this sample. We just have to take their word for it. Whatever they added, it certainly destroyed those structures. Another problem with this is that SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19 does not exist outside of a fictional in silico computer model, as we've already established in 13 previous films, and has now also been confirmed to not exist in writing by 159 of the world's top health officials, health authorities and agencies, virology labs and universities, after Freedom of Information requests were sent asking for proof of any such nonsense as SARS-CoV-2. Even the mighty U.S. Center for Disease Control openly admits that their PCR test does not look for and cannot detect SARS-CoV-2 because they have possession of no such thing outside of a theoretical computer model. And so, this saliva cannot and does not have antibodies from a human who overcame COVID naturally. However, the big pharma bogus germ theory propagators lie about what antibodies really are and do. They do not attach to so-called spike protein bulbs on dead cell debris and neutralize them to fight fictional viral infections. And the real function of antibodies is important to know in order to understand why certain saliva and even people who take ivermectin might be able to destroy these DARPA hydrogel antennae. Like enzymes, globulins or antibodies are simply just Y-shaped proteins, but these release hydrogen sulfide when decaying. As the German virologist and molecular biologist Dr. Stefan Lanka writes, graciously translated to English by Tracy Northern, the increase in antibody titers, meaning amounts, is nothing more than the body's reaction to poisoning from adjuvants. When the body is poisoned by anything, including antigens, which just means a foreign toxin, protein, material, or enzyme that has no business being inside your body, or adjuvants from vaccines, and even acute poisons like ivermectin, holes are torn in the cells by these poisons, and the cells are destroyed. The body's reaction when cells break down is to form sealing substances, globulins, or antibodies, which are small protein bodies that immediately expand in acidic environments, become flat, and cross-link with their hydrogen sulfide groups with other proteins and things. This causes blood to clot, wounds to heal, and they seal these holes in our cells when toxins are injected or ingested into our bodies. These antibodies appear and increase in amounts even after an actual physical trauma or a blow to a muscle or organ tissue, causing a bruise. Our bodies react to this by sealing damaged cells and sealing new growing cells. It's like a house that leaks until the windows are put in and sealed. They call this an antibody, and even a specific antibody, which is not true. The binding property of these hydrogen sulfide type proteins is non-specific. They bind to all sorts of things. You can even manipulate this in the laboratory by changing the acid level or adding detergents that change the mineral concentration to achieve a binding or not. In fact, Big Pharma knows damn well that antibodies are non-specific because they claim the whole point of adding antifreeze, formaldehyde, mercury, and aluminum antigen adjuvants in their vaccines is to poison you enough to shock your falsely named immune system into overproducing mass amounts of antibodies that they claim will later help fight off fictional virus infections. Hoping you'll never say, well, hang on, if antibodies are specific, wouldn't that make my body create specific antifreeze antibodies that don't work against an alleged virus like a virus antibody would? Why are you not just putting only so-called viral material in the vaccines if I only need the one special specific virus antibody? Why would I need to create specific antifreeze and formaldehyde antibodies if your injection is the only way I'd ever possibly get those inside of my body? That is why taking a COVID-19 antibody test is as ridiculous as it is meaningless. Antibodies are not specific to one individual special antigen. If you don't believe me, here you go. This orange does not have COVID, and neither does anyone else. It's just a generic antibody protein detector kit. And though many foods are high in globulins or antibody proteins, and fruits are lower, they clearly still produce antibodies as their own cells are ripening and dying after being picked from their nourishing tree. The whole point is, this is not the saliva of a person who overcame COVID naturally and has specific COVID antibodies, because there is no such thing as COVID. But since antibodies are non-specific, clearly the saliva of any toxic person who has antibodies destroys the organic material in this DARPA hydrogel on contact. And since ivermectin is a highly acute toxin, anyone taking it would definitely have massive antibodies in their system, which might be the real reason the governments and media are vilifying it. Could the reason they switched from traditional vaccine technology filled with poisonous antibody-creating adjuvants to this new alleged mRNA technology be because they don't want the body producing antibodies that can destroy their hydrogel antenna technology? Could the reason these so-called COVID mRNA vaccines cause so-called autoimmune diseases be because they have something in them designed to stop the body from producing antibodies so it does not destroy their hydrogel antenna technology? Is that why the FDA refuses to tell ICANN, the Informed Consent Action Network, what the secret hidden ingredient is in the Pfizer shot? In the next slide, the paper claims ivermectin itself was added to the right side of their sample and immediately caused the complete and permanent disappearance of the DARPA hydrogel crystal structures, claiming this clearly shows that ivermectin has an incredibly strong effect against the components of DARPA hydrogel in biological organisms. Again, they have shown zero physical evidence that they have actually added ivermectin to this sample. They could have put Coca-Cola or bleach in there for all we know, and since the study is anonymous, there is zero way to scientifically double-check either of these claims. What is fascinating is this published PubMed study that shows graphene oxide hollow nanocomposite fiber tubes attract and soak up ivermectin, which just may actually destroy them and the hydrogel enzymes inside of them. Which could mean that the real reason our governments don't want us taking ivermectin is not because it cures COVID. COVID doesn't exist, and we already showed you in our last film, Ivermectin, Friend or Foe, what it really does. but it's possibly because their graphene oxide-based technology might attract and soak up the ivermectin, which in turn might just actually destroy their hydrogel-based fractile graphene nanoantennas, rendering their whole internal biometric technology incapable of communicating with devices outside of the body. Next, they compare a slide with normal live red blood cells and then claim to add DARPA hydrogel from the deep nasal test swabs, resulting in a total massacre of the red blood cells. They do not say which of the three companies' swabs they used, SD Biosensor, Abbott, or Nidal, nor show proof that they actually did this, but this is what the paper claims, and claims the DARPA hydrogel forms the blood clots within a few seconds, causing damage and clogging blood vessels. They do not say if they separated the lithium from the hydrogel itself, and though I can't say if lithium causes blood clotting, it is known that it causes heart arrhythmia, hypotension, bradycardia, and edema in people who take it as a bipolar disorder medication. A research paper on PubMed was looking into lithium as a potential treatment drug for COVID-19, but they ditched it, concluding that the treatment with lithium requires continuous monitoring of its serum levels in order to prevent acute toxicity and long-term side effects, most notably the kidney and thyroid, so you probably don't want this shoved deep up your nose. But the question is, why would they be shoving lithium deep up your nose? In the bizarre summary, the paper cites other research papers, saying after spawning a mixture of nylon fiber fragments, DARPA hydrogel remains on the nasal mucosa under the pituitary and pineal glands along with lithium. This mixture immediately reacts with living structures to form crystals that are directionally orientated toward the pineal gland, which has its own electromagnetic field. The shape of the crystals determines the type of hydrogel used. The crystals are conductive due to the lithium contained in it. The crystals can receive the signal from the transmitter to the cell and transmit signals from the cell to the transmitter. They are actually nanoantennas. Lithium is an element that does not occur naturally in humans. It is highly toxic to the pineal gland. In low doses, it blocks the pineal gland, and in higher doses, it can completely destroy it. The pineal gland produces serotonin, a hormone of happiness, and controls human biorhythms. It is crucial for higher brain activity, creativity, foresight, sixth sense, and for social interactions of man, especially with nature. In other words, the pineal gland is what makes us all human, and thus, it is the arch enemy of the Fourth Industrial Revolution's goal to turn mankind into hive-minded, transhuman, remote-controlled zombie flesh robots. Half the population is there already and aren't even transhumans yet. They reference a DARPA study that shows DARPA hydrogel is an artificial substance that creates a converter between the electromagnetic signal and a living cell, tissue, or organ that converts an electromagnetic signal from an external transmitter to a signal which a living cell understands and responds to. They were able to control grasshoppers and beetles after hydrogel was injected into the nerve structures, and they were then controllable via radio signals. It is understandable if all of this sounds a little too crazy for you, but you had better wake up. The head of the world's most powerful economic banking think tank did not spend hundreds of hours researching and writing two joke books about how this will work. Nor did the World Economic Forum spend thousands of hours planning and creating a meticulously detailed interactive website showing exactly how global governance, corporate governance, blockchain, a new digital economy and digital society, a new financial and monetary system brought in via the fake COVID-19 Trojan horse, and dozens of other schemes will all work and connect to every single thing in this fourth industrial technocratic revolution as some kind of a practical joke. The Great Reset is happening, whether you hide your head in the sand or not. Destroying the pineal gland with lithium and inserting hydrogel antenna into the head with deep nasal swabs is one thing, but how do you hook an entire human being up to the 5G smart grid as a complete monitorable and controllable biological robot? Ricardo Delgado, the founder of La Quinta Columna, and his scientific team explain what they have found to us. The information provided on their website, laquintacolumna.net, is a synopsis of more than 20,000 hours of research working with a multidisciplinary group of scientists after the scientific discoveries in Dr. Pablo Campra's final technical report, which provides undeniable conclusive evidence of the presence of reduced graphene oxide in samples of the so-called vaccines produced by AstraZeneca, Moderna, Pfizer, and Janssen. Their research emerges from both scientific analysis of the materials and observational evidence. His scientific team points out that the technocrats behind the fourth industrial revolution transhumanism agenda have taken advantage of the general ignorance and lack of knowledge of not just the general public, but also the medical and health community regarding matters such as nanotechnology, to carry out this sinister plan of what they call UN Agenda 2030, which is just the first target milestone of UN Agenda 21 for the entire 21st century, the duration of the current modern Eddy Grand Solar Minimum, the regular cyclical 100-year ice ages that will change this world beyond recognition by its finish around the decade of 2090. Once again, Time magazine cryptically spilled the beans for those paying attention as to why Bill Gates and the billionaires are buying up all of the desert land in the western United States and building farms there. Of all the things in the world to build in a desert where crops can't currently grow, just around the 33rd parallel. And Time also showed why China and the elites are pumping trillions of dollars into building infrastructure in the useless deserts of the Sahel region of Africa, also around the 33rd parallel. Yes, that 33rd. Because they know the record rainfall landing there now is going to make those deserts the new fertile food-growing breadbaskets during the Grand Solar Minimum, just as it always has been like clockwork during the previous Grand Solar Minimums when it was the breadbasket of the Roman Empire. And it's no accident the Sahara Desert is scattered with hundreds of fairly recent, highly advanced ruins sticking out of the sand. And they do not want us migrating there, so they need to monitor and control us. Have you ever wondered why the governments don't seem to care that they are flooding Europe and Scandinavia with migrants from Northern Africa? They are purposely moving them out of Northern Africa, since that area is going to be thriving after 2030. That's why Gaddafi had to go. He was stopping the North African migrants from coming into Europe. The Kalergi plan is yet another clever smokescreen and diversion from the real Agenda 21. The elites don't give a shit how the races mix in soon starving Europe, because the elites won't be in Europe. They'll be in thriving Northern Africa. They're telling you on the cover of Time magazine, but you haven't been paying attention. All of the vaccines tested, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Janssen, and Moderna, contain exclusively nanotechnology. La Quinta scientists have found nanorouters, which emit MAC addresses, that can be registered with Bluetooth wireless technology just by using your own mobile phone and the help of an app. We've seen this confirmed dozens of times on TikTok, BitChute, and other social media platforms, where the Bluetooth on people's phones is offering to link up to one of these companies when in the vicinity of those who have taken the injections and boosters. We've seen electronic devices in automobiles and even televisions trying to link up to the exact same Big Pharma MAC address device as the phones do when those who are injected get near them. A French research team stopped random volunteers passing by in a park, asking them if they had been vaccinated or not, and splitting them into groups of vaccinated and non-vaccinated. They were tested with their laptop's Bluetooth, and the vaccinated were registering an unnamed MAC address as each were called near from the field. The researchers said what is generating it, they do not know, but it is not natural. It is against nature. A person should not emit a code. Normally, Bluetooth devices have a name on them, so you know which one you want to connect to. But now, when you go into a crowded public place and turn on your Bluetooth, all of these anonymous unnamed MAC addresses suddenly show up. It does not take Sherlock Holmes and Watson to figure out where these signals are coming from. In this parking lot, only one phone device and the stereo from a Ford EcoSport show up on the Bluetooth. But once inside the building, they are both still there. Then suddenly, all of these anonymous devices appear out of nowhere. And as the number of devices are counted against the number of people there, again, we don't need Matlock or Columbo to tell us what's really going on here. And it's not just MAC addresses and Bluetooth either. Modern smartphones can scan QR codes and open links or even show UPC or universal product codes. But they can also scan traditional barcodes like store scanners and show you the universal product code, as seen here. A universal product code is unique to every product. Human beings are not meant to be products on a grocery store shelf, so it should be alarming to find out that many people who have taken these injections have been assigned their own unique product code, no different than livestock. Any injected person laughing about this doesn't yet fully understand the gravity of their situation. And if you've done this to yourself, do not fear. There is a way to test and remedy your situation. If a smartphone picks up a UPC code at your injection site, you can use a strong magnet to find the exact location of the graphene nanochip. You will see it bulge out of the skin like this. Mark it with a pen, cut it open, and take it out. It will be black, about the size of a small grain of rice, and highly magnetic. The scientists have now found nano antennas and plasmonic antennas in the vaccines for the amplification of these signals. They have also identified nanorectennas, which act as rectifier bridges of alternating and direct current. They've also found codecs, which are devices capable of performing transformations on a data stream or signal, and also certain logic gates, which are small digital electronic devices that compute binary functions like AND, OR, NOT, TRUE, FALSE, less than, greater than, equal to, etc., used for the encryption of these nanocommunications emitted from the vaccinated individual to a remote network server. We have already covered the remote external network server patents and technology in great detail in our February 2021 film, Once Were the Living, if you'd like to see how this all connects. We have just recently seen secondary confirmation of this technology in the Pfizer biotech vaccines from German doctor Ute Langer in her testimony to German attorney Dr. Rainer Fuhlmich's legal team mounting their genocidal crimes against humanity case with a team of 1,000 attorneys and 10,000 medical experts. Dr. Langer shows us a mechanically constructed object in the Pfizer vaccine sample found under dark field microscopy on a slide. She shows two slides, one on the bottom with just a drop of the vaccine substance on top as a cover so that nothing slipped or dripped out. The fluid is not moving. The machine is moving itself within the fluid. In another Pfizer batch, Dr. Langer found this. She is not a biotech engineer, but even she can figure out that this is a nanochip. She points out that this chip structure has been observed by others examining vaccine contents, and that Dr. Barbel Gitala had the exact same findings in her analysis of a Johnson & Johnson vaccine vial. The form is always the same, so the appearance is not a coincidence and shows up frequently. These objects are also moving themselves within the still fluid. Next, she shows the blood of a vaccinated patient, noticing the rolling and stacking of blood cells like stacks of coins, typical of blood cancer and serious liver disease, also EMF or electromagnetic frequency exposure. The blood cells are forming into rolls with another object looped around throughout the image. It isn't hair or fiber. They did comparative photography with both hair and fiber. It appears to be these graphene layers that we will discuss shortly. She says it is extremely long and it is dually refractive, meaning it splits and bends light into two different paths, like calcite crystals, meaning these objects are not organic, not biological, they don't belong there. Very similar to Morgellons fibers growing out of people's skins and scalps. Delgado says the primary material for the elaboration of these microstructural complexes is graphene oxide, seen here in a Pfizer vaccine vial, the presence of which is decisive for the self-assembly of these structural complexes. The main mechanisms of exfoliation or peeling off of graphene oxide within the body into graphene quantum dots are natural biodegradation of graphene oxide caused by the enzyme myeloperoxidase found inside of our neutrophil white blood cells, in other words, antibodies, which break down antigens and cause the greenish color of pus and mucus. The second is the telesphoresis mechanism, which are microwave electromagnetic fields emitted from our mobile phone signals with different frequency ranges. Graphene oxide injected into the body acquires magnetic properties when it comes in contact with hydrogen and living cells. This is why many vaccinated people have this exacerbated magnetism at the point of inoculation and subsequently in the upper solar plexus and even the skull. Graphene oxide is recognized by our bodies as a foreign antigen, meaning a toxin. Once injected, it has an affinity for the central nervous system, basically the spinal cord and the brain, because of its higher electrical conductivity. Once in the central nervous system, it causes immobilization of limbs, strokes, paraplegia, and the alteration of the nervous system itself. Graphene oxide also has a blood clotting factor and increases thrombogenicity, meaning a tendency of a material like graphene oxide coming into contact with the blood to produce a thrombus or blood clot or multiple blood clots called emboli, which themselves become detached and travel through the bloodstream. This is called venous thromboembolism. So how did the FDA warn you 3 months before these injections were even available to the public on their own website that these 22 things would happen to you if you take these injections. Why did the FDA say they needed 75 years before they'd release the ingredients in these injections to the public? Obviously, because they knew damn well already what was in them and want to make sure they're all long dead and buried before the vaccinated hang them for injecting this into them without informed consent. Graphene oxide also has an affinity for electrical organs, such as our heart, especially when cardiac activity is increased by exercise, sports, or nervousness, and therefore its electrical activity increases. At that moment, this graphene oxide targets the heart and inflames it, generating myocarditis or pericarditis. In addition, graphene oxide has the ability to absorb electromagnetic radiation from our environment and multiply or amplify its power with a transistor effect. Thus, it generates small discharges that cause arrhythmias in our cardiac system when they have increased cardiac activity. Just as these electromagnetic signals can excite this graphene oxide enough to amplify and discharge, lighting up these LED bulbs, here we see graphene oxide in myocytes or cardiac cells, generating electrical heart arrhythmias when the graphene is excited by microwaves. Then it gives off the electrical discharges. This woman's phone is shut off on airplane flight mode. But watch her meter when she leaves it on flight mode, but turns on the phone's Bluetooth.
I'm now going to turn on the Bluetooth. Okay, get ready for this. Yes. Bluetooth.
It's very possible that one function of the graphene oxide is to amplify the injected Bluetooth nanotransmitters that are giving off these Bluetooth signals to be read by the external monitoring and tracking devices. But that means that these people's bodies are constantly generating this kind of electromagnetic radiation, which is also bombarding their organs constantly. Again, don't panic if you are giving off a Bluetooth signal yourself. Nature and your local health store have given us zinc. Do you know what injected graphene electron bombardment does to the charged molecules in your organs once excited and amplified by electromagnetic frequencies without a huge zinc molecule buffer to neutralize the electric charge? You'd live a lot longer if you did. Again, the real reason these booster shots are purchased by our governments long before the new fake variants are even claimed to exist is because these injections are not for fake virus protection. They are to keep topping you up with technology and more graphene oxide, because they know your divine human body will eventually destroy and remove the graphene. They will keep telling you continuously that the boosters are ineffective against the next variant, but the next one will work. You'll see. Anything to keep refilling you with graphene oxide.
Listen, they want us to pay for the beer we drank, so you guys better split. The next gig is going to be dynamite. Huge. You'll see.
So far, four vaccinated tennis players have already dropped out of the Australian Open from heart arrhythmias on the court, and even more of them dropped out from chest pains in the qualifying stages. You can't even watch a sporting event anymore without somebody dropping on the field or court, clutching their chest. Luckily, the fact checkers at Reuters assure us there is no evidence that COVID-19 vaccines are linked to athletes collapsing or dying from myocarditis, but rather, for the first time in history, vaccinated athletes are mysteriously collapsing and dying en masse from a listed known side effect of their vaccines. But this is all coincidence and there is no correlation whatsoever. It's all a big mystery. Just because every mother of a baby born with two thumbs where an arm should be had taken thalidomide for morning sickness does not mean that thalidomide caused these babies to be born this way. Trust the science. Did you know that on average, around 4,500 drugs and devices are pulled from U.S. shelves every single year? That's 45,000 a decade, just in the U.S. alone, not even the world. And all of them were initially approved to be there and found out later to be unsafe after being tested on the guinea pigs. You. Now, do you see why iatrogenic death is the first leading cause of death in Western nations? Iatrogenic does not mean quack malpractice. It means your doctors did exactly what their medical schools and pharmaceutical reps instructed them to do, and instead of curing you, they killed you. Have you not even noticed that your own trusted doctors and nurses are happy to inject you with deadly COVID vaccines, but have all quit their own high-paying, secure jobs when they themselves are being forced to take the exact same injections? They seem to care about their own health, but do they care about yours?
So the current situation is this. If you have COVID and you end up in the hospital, you're put on a rigid protocol, and there's high mortality rate in the hospital, and your family is kept in the dark as to what's happening. So what's going on here? Number one, the CARES Act is providing bonus payments to hospitals whenever you have a diagnosis of COVID. And then number two, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services is waiving patient rights. This is a deadly combination. So here's what happens. You get a payment because you offer a free COVID test in the emergency room. You get a boost payment if you have a diagnosis of COVID. Number three, you get another bonus payment if you are admitted with COVID. Number four, you get another bonus payment if you're put on remdesivir. Number five, another bonus payment if you're put on a mechanical ventilator. Number six, another 20% bonus if the diagnosis on your death certificate says COVID, even though you may not have died from COVID. And then number seven, there's bonus payments to coroners. Do you understand the gravity of what's happening right now? The Biden administration is literally paying hospitals to kill you. To kill you. That's what's happening. This is terrible. We need to stop that. These are real human lives we're talking about. They're priceless. It's estimated at about $100,000 per patient is what the hospital is getting. Think about that.
Delgado states that this is why they believe so many athletes are suffering from arrhythmias when they have increased cardiac activity, causing the fainting, blackouts, and syncope from inadequate flow of blood to the brain, possibly linked to unexpected sudden death. We need to point out that the report of Dr. Paolo Campra was closely examined and challenged by German doctor Andreas Nowak before his mysterious and sudden death a few days after his video went viral, challenging that it is a much more deadly and dangerous graphene hydroxide, not oxide, that are in these injections. Dr. Nowak described how Dr. Campra studied the vaccines for the presence of graphene oxide by using micro-Raman spectroscopy, as seen here, which studies the vibrational modes of molecules and is commonly used in chemistry to provide a structural vibrational fingerprint by which molecules can easily be identified. He stated that two of Campra's frequency bands are important. They show that it is not graphene oxide, but rather graphene hydroxide that Dr. Campra found in the vaccine vials. Graphene hydroxide is monolayer or one single layer activated carbon. There are C6 rings that Dr. Kampra found in all of the samples, meaning every corner of the molecule is a carbon atom. If it is 50 nanometers long, then there are 500 C6 rings in a row, not stacked since it is a monolayer. So though this structure is 50 nanometers long, it is only 0.1 nanometers thick. To put this in perspective for you, a centimeter is less than a third of an inch. A millimeter is 1/10 of a centimeter, the smallest measurement on your ruler. That tiny millimeter broken down is a million nanometers. And so a 50 nanometer long piece of graphene hydroxide is 0.0005 millimeters. And it has an edge 0.1 nanometers thick, the size of one so-called theoretical atom, or the very tippy-tippy-tippy-tippy-tippy-tippy-tippy-tippy-tippy-tip of a razor blade, only detectable by micro-Raman spectroscopy and zero coroner autopsy. Unlike graphene oxide, graphene hydroxide is extremely stable. They make brake pads out of it. It is not biologically decomposable, so the body cannot break it down with enzymes, parasites, and antibodies. These nanoscale structures can best be described as tiny razor blades. These razor blades are injected into the body, nanoscale tiny razor blades, only one atom layer thick, relatively wide and stacked high. They are razors, not biologically decomposable. The OH hydroxy groups can split off a proton. When split off, they gain a negative electric charge spread out over the whole system. So it is basically an acid. It suspends well in water because of the negative charge. So these razor blades spread evenly and uniformly throughout the liquid blood. This is basically Russian roulette. You can see it very clearly in this woman. It cuts the blood vessels. The blood vessels have epithelial cells as their inner lining, and the epithelial layer is extremely smooth like a mirror and is cut up by these razor blades. That is what's so dangerous. If you inject the vaccine into a vein, the razors will circulate in the blood and cut up the epithelial lining. The thing is that toxicological tests are done in petri dishes, and toxicologists will not find these nano-sized particles there. These are the sharpest imaginable structures because they are only one atom layer thick. This is a huge molecule which is extremely sharp.
Blood vessels all over my body. So I have some here, and I have them on my arms and my legs, and then wait till you see the inside of my mouth. It's nasty. There's like four on this side and then on this side. And that one. So I saw two doctors and an NP this morning and they have no idea what's going on, so they sent me to a specialist. And they deemed it urgent. So I'm here at the specialist now, just waiting for them to come see me.
Sadly, her specialists won't know either. You have to be a chemist and a specialist in activated carbon like Dr. Nowak. In his doctoral thesis, he converted graphene oxide to graphene hydroxide, then joined the world's leading activated carbon manufacturer, and was later in charge of new carbon products Europe-wide, so he knows about this subject. Again, if coroners perform an autopsy on the victims, they will not find anything. Toxicologists do their tests in petri dishes. They can't even imagine that there are tiny nanostructures that can cut up blood vessels. There are even pictures of coagulated blood coming out of people's noses.
Okay. Oh my God.
We have funeral home embalmers now pulling similar things out of the bodies of 4 out of 5 people after they embalm them, and they cannot figure out what is going on. People will literally bleed to death on the inside, especially the top athletes who are dropping dead because they have fast-flowing blood. The faster the blood flows, the more damage the razors will do. It is a new material that toxicologists are not aware of yet. Suddenly it makes sense that the victims look like this, and that top athletes with high blood circulation, completely healthy, suddenly drop dead. You see people collapse immediately after vaccination and have a seizure. These people had bad luck in the Russian roulette. Very likely, a vein was hit by the syringe. If it stays in your muscle and subcutaneous layer only, you may have dodged the bullet this time. But if you're doing drive-up booster shots like a ghetto windshield wash street fundraiser, you are playing with your life. He said the question you have to ask politicians, doctors, and Pfizer is, why are there these nano razor blades in the vaccines? Completely new substances unknown to nature are brought in with these vaccines. Everyone is talking about the messenger RNA, which has complex effects. The theory of messenger RNA is complex, but any and every chemist understands what this graphene hydroxide does. You see, the mRNA story is possibly a diversion. They distract us with the messenger RNA story. But people cannot collapse that quickly from that. Right after the injection, something else is going on. Now, this is highly secretive technology, way out of my personal scope and field of knowledge and research, and I have not had time to go through the website and read through hundreds of hours of technical research, nor will I, since I have not and will not let anyone inject me with this technology. So I will give you my best guess summary as to how I suspect this technology works in general. So again, take it with a dump truck full of salt and do your own research if you want specifics or in case my guess is wrong. I suspect that the graphene carbon conductive nanonodes and nanosensors act as gates and are somehow self-assembled inside of the body and are then transported and lodged into various different areas of the body. Perhaps they are transported with the help of the hydrogel swimmers, which can either intelligently or perhaps electromagnetically move on their own accord, rather than just float around aimlessly in the bloodstream. I suspect the minuscule nanographene quantum dots do float around aimlessly in the bloodstream, attracting and picking up different proteins along the way, even changing their electrochemical signature as they do so, which is read and detected by the nanosensor gates as the graphene quantum dots pass through them along their route. Somehow, those nanosensors relay that information to possibly the nanorouters, nanointerfaces, or both, and then off to the external out-of-body DARPA and Microsoft surveillance technology, probably via Bluetooth, but possibly by way of fractile graphene nanoantennas. Graphene quantum dots themselves emit light of specific frequencies if electricity is applied to them that changes by their shape and size and can be used for quantum computing. So perhaps they themselves can be encoded with information and pass along that information to the codec nano interfaces or to the nano routers and controllers or even to the hydrogel antenna, which then pass it along to the DARPA, Microsoft, and AT&T external monitoring hardware and software. Delgado states that the aim is to eliminate a large part of the population and then use behavioral modification properties of graphene oxide in the field of neuroscience and artificial intelligence for the remaining population. Graphene oxide has a special affinity for neurons. Once installed in the neurons, it generates an artificial neural network that gradually replaces the natural neural network. On the one hand, graphene oxide manages to break normal synapses so that our brain can be mapped, and it literally collects information such as memories, local thoughts, sensations, emotions, or feelings. The exact same technology, Klaus Schwab said, can intrude into the hitherto private space of our minds, reading our thoughts and influencing our behaviors. Delgado says you will now understand why during this pandemic, legislation such as the Neuro Rights Act has been passed in certain countries. Chile has just become the first country in the world to pass a Neuro Rights Law. They amended their actual constitution to define mental identity as a non-manipulatable right to protect it against technological advancements in neurosciences and artificial intelligence. The bill protects the right to mental privacy, personal identity, and the free will of thought. Moreover, graphene oxide in the neural network can be stimulated remotely and wirelessly, done by using the implementation of 4G, 4G Plus, 5G, and soon 6G technology. All vaccinated people send their data to an external server controlled by artificial intelligence. When the Bible says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," very few Christians question whether that is a good thing or a bad thing, especially if AI mind-controlled transhuman slaves is what is meant by the meek. Forget about cases, as tests are bogus and meaningless, but when we look at hospitalizations and deaths from Public Health Scotland's government statistics, it's overwhelmingly the vaccinated majority, shown here in orange, that are both filling up hospitals and dying there. Public Health England confirms the same overwhelming majority, the vaccinated shown here in red, 65% of the hospitalizations, 82% of the deaths. And Public Health Wales the same, 84% of all patients in hospital are double vaccinated. Some of the mainstream media outlets, like The Guardian, are admitting that the hospitals are filling up with the double jab people and that we should expect more of it. And social media platforms are littered with videos and articles of whistleblower doctors and nurses reporting that the hospitals are full of mostly jabbed people and that the official narrative is a lie. Delgado's team of scientists have an interesting take on this. They say a large part of our vaccinated population is suffering unexpected or sudden death when interacting near these 4G and 5G microwave sources. He says the graphene oxide, which is injected as a prime material in vaccines, is eliminated from the body through our lungs. But if this graphene oxide is irradiated by 4G or 5G signals while still in the lungs, the subsequent inflammation of the lung tissue causes bilateral pneumonia, which they'll just blame on COVID after a bogus and meaningless PCR test, lateral flow antibody test, or just a doctor's symptom diagnosis to get more cash bonus for the hospital. Turkey is now starting its fifth dose of booster shots, and many other countries are following Pfizer's recommendation of a booster shot every 3 months to fight the fake Omicron variant. Delgado's team believe that if the vaccinated survive the initial dose of graphene oxide injected into their blood, it will eventually be degraded in the body naturally by the neutralizing antibodies and enzymes, and that once the graphene and its toxicity are gone, so are the antibodies that neutralize the substance, which themselves trigger the immunoglobulin antibodies that work with this technology by peeling off the graphene so they can form into the quantum dots. And so he predicted that people would be forced to revaccinate every 3 months in order to maintain the body's levels of this toxic substance, by claiming that people no longer possess immunity to the fictional COVID and its fictional variants.
It isn't the effectiveness of the vaccine, it's quite effective. It's how long it lasts. And that's the reason when we started to see the immunity start to wane, we said people should get boosted.
If you're worried about Omicron variant, the best thing to do is get fully vaccinated and then get your booster shot.
Fully vaccinated in another sense, in terms of being fully protected against SARS-CoV-2 and especially Omicron, at this point means a booster.
We're using the terminology now, keeping your vaccinations up to date, rather than what fully vaccinated means,
So individuals are considered fully vaccinated against COVID-19 if they've received their primary series. That definition is not changing, but consistent with how public health has historically viewed or even talked about how we recommend vaccines, we are now recommending that individuals stay up to date with additional doses that they are eligible
for. Do you think the CDC and others, for example, got the messaging wrong when it comes to breakthrough cases, people who are fully vaccinated but get COVID,
Those breakthrough infections have mild illness. They are staying out of the hospital. They are not dying. And I think that that's the most important thing to understand. We have a massive number of people who are vaccinated, and those breakthrough infections tend to be mild and not severe.
But what about all the fully vaccinated people who get the breakthrough infection? Can they pass it on? Could they pass it on to their children? Could they pass the virus on to older people, especially more vulnerable people with the underlying health conditions?
And that's exactly the point that we made in our guidance. So yes, they can with the Delta variant. And that was the reason that we changed our guidance last Tuesday. Our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death. They prevent it. But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
If you took 4 polio vaccines in 1 year and still got polio, wouldn't you start asking some questions about the real purpose of these injections? Delgado's team found graphene oxide in both the 2019 and 2020 flu vaccines and points out that our elderly were previously vaccinated with these graphene flu shots, and he suspects they were then irradiated with the famous 4G and 5G cell phone towers, which suspiciously 8 out of every 10 are located in the vicinity of nursing homes and old folks' homes. Seeing as 99% of all alleged COVID deaths in early 2020 were in people on average of 82 years old with 2 or more terminal pre-existing conditions already, they postulate that the first and basically only artificial wave of the disease, which was relabeled COVID-19, was simply graphene-enhanced acute radiation syndrome, with our elderly in nursing homes as its target population, since their flu vaccination rate is very close to 100%. These constant technology injections are the only way Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, the New World Order, whatever you prefer to call it, can hook up the transhuman man to the digital surveillance grid and 5G smart cities. They need everyone either dead or hooked up. There is no in-between for them. But don't panic. Something incredible has happened. Religious people call it a miracle. The sports fans would call it a Hail Mary. Physicists call it every action has an equal and opposite reaction, and the Hermeticists call it the perpetual balance of duality. We were almost in checkmate. The World Bank was caught red-handed on their own website, planning to carry out the COVID scam and lockdown schemes until March 31st, 2025, and then hit us with the Rhodes Milner Group's Royal Institute for International Affairs, Rockefeller-controlled American branch, the Council on Foreign Relations, United Nations, World Bank via the World Health Organization, via Rockefeller-created John Hopkins, SPARS pandemic, from 2025 until 2028, with a fake Marburg Ebola-type virus mutation in between, in order to keep pumping us with injections to get this tech fully implanted by the Agenda 2030 year-end goal. Rockefeller's Operation Lockstep was about using pandemics to form a world of tighter top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership, with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. They were well aware of the worldwide protests and pushback that would come. They had welcomed it and even prepared for it. It seemed they had every base covered, except... With all of their meticulous planning and models, they never planned a scenario to handle what happens if tens of millions of people suddenly spent their lockdown time researching virology and germ theory and figuring out that pathogenic viruses don't even exist, let alone cause illness. For the first time in the history of the world, a world-renowned virologist, Dr. Stefan Lanka, ran the three-phase control experiment that scientifically proved without a doubt that fraudulent virology cell culture procedures produce meaningless viral particles. It is the end of germ theory and virology, period. At the exact same time, virologist Dr. Lanka's colleagues like Dr. Kaufman, Dr. Bailey, Dr. Cowan, Dr. Vollmer, Dr. O'Young, Dr. Merritt, Dr. Northrup, David Parker, Dawn Lester, and now many others have been exponentially going viral around the world, exposing the non-existent COVID virus and the germ theory fraud. And the elite control system is absolutely panicking. They are okay that these doctors have now woken up tens of millions, but they have to make absolute certain that billions of people do not find out this information, or it is checkmate and game over for them. Their entire UN Agenda 21 Trojan horse to set up this transhuman digital surveillance technocracy and surveillance capital industry relies on people's fear of fake virus pandemics so they can use COVID, flu shots, SPARS, and Marburg to inject this technology into us. Not even the world's biggest imbecile would take medicine to protect them from something that doesn't exist. So their highly paid, controlled opposition shills are out in full force trying to do damage control, and are implanted everywhere in alternative media and the truth movements. Dr. Robert Malone accused the public of mass formation psychosis and then urged the public to believe in the debunked germ theory, a larger form of mass formation psychosis. People see things like this and say, "Oh my God, how did that get onto Sky News? They finally admitted it." No, it's on Sky News because they want you to see it.
Yesterday you compared COVID to flu. Did you really mean to do that?
Yes.
Those people then who were ridiculed for comparing COVID to the flu, they shouldn't have been ridiculed.
This is staged propaganda meant to purposely program those who still believe in germ theory and have not got the memo yet. They don't care if you think COVID-19 is no worse than the flu or common cold, so long as you think COVID-19 exists. They don't care if you are too ignorant or lazy to even look up what gain-of-function research actually is, so long as you believe the nonsense cover story script being purposely fed to you that COVID-19 is a real bioweapon virus that leaked out of a lab in Wuhan, China, and you never figure out the real bioweapon is being injected into you every 3 months. The elites need to shut these doctors up in a hurry without making martyrs of them, So in many countries, we're going to see the media admitting that they were wrong about the severity of COVID-19 and misreported it, like Denmark's Ekstra Bladet did, but still leaving the impression that it is real and exists. Some governments, like the UK, will lift and pull back mask restrictions and even vaccine passports, leaving the impression that the immediate threat is over, but still the subconscious idea that there ever was a threat. Despite the world's 2020 and 2021 death rates being 7.6 deaths out of every 1,000 people, the lowest ever in the 70 years they've been keeping records, proving nothing out of the ordinary was ever going on, even with them murdering our elderly, so long as you think there really was a virus. In lockstep, some other countries will back down as well, following England's lead, as will other media outlets apologize to try and win your trust back. Other countries will carry on with COVID business as usual. As the Operation Lockstep documents admitted, it is possible to discipline and control some societies for some time, but not the whole world all of the time. Yet. Then they'll distract us for a year or two with wars, maybe food shortages, financial collapse, cybersecurity threats, climate crisis, and lull people back to sleep, taking advantage of our short memories and how we always give our full attention to the current events we are in fear of. Just like now, in the middle of the chaos of the COVID fear-based mind control campaign, nobody wants to hear some person talking about 9/11 and how jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams, because it's just not relevant right now and we have more current things to worry about. People will not want to hear about viruses not existing or how they were injected with eugenics nanotechnology a few years ago, when they are facing war, food shortages, cyber attacks, climate crisis, political elections. And that is how they will silence these doctors, by making them seem irrelevant with bigger things to worry about going on. With all of this planned chaos coming, most people won't even remember or notice that the 2-year long-term side effects of what is being injected into them right now, coupled with the 5G and 6G radiation, will be the exact same symptoms and illnesses they are going to claim are then caused by the coming Marburg Ebola pandemic and the SARS virus pandemic. The choice is yours. Go back to sleep and be slowly assimilated into the transhuman hive mind, or stay vigilant, stay human, and find your own mastermind.
To know where I go to get that feeling, I need to find the mastermind. I need to know where I go to get that feeling, I need to find the mastermind. My mind, body, soul, I'm going right to the source. Never been a type of dude who gon' mission abort. I'm more like a stork, bringing the light. Through the storm till I shine, sword and shield by my side. Soaring high and I'm moving so swiftly. Clouds floating around me, shape much differently. Frequencies tessellate, better things orchestrate. Rearrange and sound like symphonies. This epiphany picked me out of it instantly. Synchronizing balance and symmetry that's hissing me. Sick of these demons seeping in when I sleep. Seeking a soul they can leash. Defeat the hatred, release all of the pieces they seem to paint with heartlessness. As hard as it gets, never digress. Progressive present, pessimism ain't got no place in this. Still on a quest, trying to find a mastermind in this bitch.